Hello and welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness and we are glad that you have found our website and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today. Pastor Rob, we're glad to have you on staff and your family part of our church. It's been awesome having you here, so welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, good morning. Last Sunday of 2020. We're done. Let's all go home. Woo, I tell you what a year. Amen, what a year. And I was trying to think of all the things this year that at the beginning of the year I never thought I would say, you know, and there's a lot. There's a whole list of things. And last Sunday I was preaching at another church, filling in for a pastor who was out of town. And I was joking. I do want to throw that out there. I was joking and I was talking to my wife and I was like, man, I didn't bring the mask that goes with my tie. And what do you know? I come in today and somebody said, hey, your tie should be gray to go with, your mask should be gray to go with your tie. And I'm just sitting there going, wow, things that I never thought I would have said in 2020. Certain numbers, 19, wow, 19 and 6, right? COVID-19 and 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet. Man, just a lot of things that happened this year that, we didn't see coming, you know, or, maybe some people saw it coming, didn't really take it seriously. And then all of a sudden, around March or so, the whole world seemed to go a little crazy. And not to say, like I said, it's not, you know, a serious thing. Illness and sickness and disease is a very serious thing. That's why Jesus Christ conquered it. And thank the Lord for that. And so we're going to begin this morning in John chapter 21, John 21. And I just wanted to say thank you to Wilton Baptist Church just welcoming me, my family. Just very honored to be here, humbled, just really glad to be here. And thank you so much for the gifts and cards and the words of encouragement and just the way that you reach out to my family. I appreciate that very much. And John chapter 21, the title of today's message is Remember His Name. Remember His Name. And before we get into the main text, which is John 21, the Bible lets us know in Psalm chapter, and I think I had it up there, but I'm not sure. I'm still getting used, there it is, Psalm 20, verse 7. Still getting used to turning in my notes to somebody else. And that's a lot of trust. But they're doing a great job, so I appreciate it. The Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. And there's a lot of people relying on, leaning on all kinds of things in this past year to help them get through each and every day. And as Christians, you know, we need to be leaning on and relying on Jesus Christ. And I love how it ends. Remember the name of the Lord our God. Our God. And just a personal relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. And so the Bible, in John 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Peter's always jumping out of the boat. You notice that? Anyway, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto him, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for your love and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for being our God. And Lord, maybe there's one here today, one listening, watching, and they don't know you as a Savior. They don't know you as a Heavenly Father. They don't have that personal relationship. Lord, I pray that even now they can open their hearts and ask for forgiveness, Lord, and know and be able to say that you are their God. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we pray for just what's going to happen. 2020 is going to end, but 2021 is about to begin. And Lord, help us just to continue to rely on you, to lean on you. And Heavenly Father, help us to share you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so here we see in John chapter 21, and just going to focus on Peter this morning. And, you know, really the last week here in Peter's life was quite a difficult week. To say he had a difficult week was probably an understatement. Okay, an understatement. You know, they come into Jerusalem. They're laying the palm branches down. They're glory to God, and you know, saying hallelujah and hosanna, hosanna, and then they get into the upper room and so on. And then Christ in John chapter 14, he talks about leaving. He talks about leaving, and he tells them in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled," because he knew what he was saying was a little bit troubling. I'm going to leave; you're going to stay, but you're going to continue to do some work. And then we see in the upper room also that the disciples were having a hard time with humility, okay? And they're talking about who's going to be the greatest and so on, and so Jesus starts washing their feet, and Peter, we all know Peter's response, you know, well, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus, you know, rebukes him, and then of course then Peter's like, well, then you're going to wash all of me, you know, and so on. And then Christ is once again talking to the disciples about people forsaking him and so on, and Peter says, I'll never forsake thee. Matter of fact, I'll die for you. And then Jesus says, well, you know, before the cock even crows three times, you're going to deny me. Are you going to deny me three? You know the story. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. Okay? And so then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus calls, you know, Andrew and Peter and John to be with him a little bit further as he's praying. And then they fall asleep. And, you know, Peter's not hearing Jesus, but Jesus is even calling Peter out while he's sleeping. You know, he says, you couldn't watch 1 hour with me. And then, I mean, just if you think about it, Peter's really going through a lot of emotion. OK, and he's tired and so on. And then you see Judas, one who's been walking with you and Jesus and the others for 3 years, bring the Roman soldiers and betray Jesus Christ and betray him with a kiss. And so you see this man that was entrusted in your circle, if you will. And then you see him betray, you know, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ shows his power. He speaks and the men fall back. and so on. But, you know, they're about to arrest Jesus. They're going to take Jesus. And so Peter, once again, you know, takes matters into his own hands and whips out his sword and goes to cut the, well, you know, he was aiming for the whole head, right? You know, and got the ear. And then Jesus heals the servant's ear, and then they lead Jesus away. Then they lead Jesus away. Now Jesus is now standing before different people at different times with the a mockery of a trial. Then if you look in John chapter 18, if you look in John chapter 18, I want you to see just how difficult this was for Peter. Because I think sometimes we look at these people, we look at Thomas, we look at Peter, we look at people in the Bible and say, how could they do that? How could they deny Christ? Well, understand, Peter's life of the last 3 years is now just being completely turned upside down. Okay, and he was the vocal one. He was the leader in a lot of different ways. And in John chapter 18, you can see here in verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there who made him a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. In the secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And I bring that out because in Luke chapter 22, verse 60, you get also another part of the story and where Peter denies Christ. So far in John chapter 18, he denied him once. But in Luke chapter 22, you see all three denials. And it says, Peter said, I know what thou sayest, and immediately, while he spake, the cock crew. Okay? Peter said, I know not what thou sayest, and immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. That was his third denial. And in verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny him thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I just want you to know that Peter and Jesus, a lot of times during this particular time, Peter could see Jesus and Jesus could see Peter. Now, I'm not saying definitively that Peter actually saw a soldier strike Jesus Christ, but he did see soldiers manhandle Jesus Christ. And he did see Jesus Christ being arrested. And here was a man that he was with for 3 years, and when Jesus didn't want to be touched, nobody touched him. Nobody touched him at all. But then all of a sudden, this man who was in complete control of everything now seems to be in control of the government and so on and so forth. So to say that Peter was going through a difficult time is an understatement. Just like to say 2020 was a different and difficult time of year, most of it would say an understatement. Everything that we thought was how the way things should be completely just turned upside down. I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, if it comes to education, comes to government, comes to family relations, comes to the job situation, COVID-19 affected every area of our life. Our church affected every area, okay? And it, all of a sudden, everything the way that it was supposed to be, all of a sudden, not that way anymore. Not that way anymore. And so Peter was having a difficult time. And amongst that, he made it even more difficult by denying Christ three times, and then Christ saw him, and then he went out and wept bitterly. But when you continue to read about Peter, in Acts chapter 2, you see that he's the main preacher on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to know Christ as their Savior. Go back and read Acts chapter 2, and he has no problem at all saying the name of Jesus Christ now. He has no problem at all identifying himself with Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, we know that Peter and John were walking into the synagogue. And the lame man wanted, you know, he was begging. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Here was a man who denied Christ three times, but now here's a man who's standing before thousands of people and preaching the name of Jesus Christ. Here was a man that said, I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. I don't have any answers really for your everyday earthly life, but I do have the answer for eternal life. And I do have the, and by the way, he did have some answers for his daily life because the man rose up and walked. So that was incredible in itself as well. He says, but what I do have is I have Jesus Christ. And then in Acts chapter 4, he's speaking to Annas and Caiaphas, the same people that condemned Jesus Christ, you know, to death. And he says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All of a sudden, Peter's life turned into a life of victory after victory, winning battle after battle. If it was imprisonment, if it was beaten, if it was, you know, preaching in front of thousands of people. And the reason why is because when it came to Peter and sharing Jesus, preaching Jesus, living for Jesus, he had no problem doing that. He remembered the name of Jesus. He remembered the name of Jesus. And, you know, in Acts chapter 10, Peter gets the vision with the unclean beast. Okay? And it's God's way of telling him, look, if I'm involved, anybody can be clean. And so then Peter went and started preaching to the Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 10, the Holy Ghost came upon the Gentiles. And so, and why? Because Peter, when given the opportunity for forgiveness, given the opportunity to move forward, given the opportunity to basically have his life changed, turned around once again, he remembered the name of Jesus. He remembered the name of Jesus. I'll tell you what, you know, if there's one thing that COVID-19 did for a lot of Christians in 2020, it made us realize just how much we need Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. I love the Constitution. I love democracy. I love the United States of America. But let me tell you something. There's somebody much greater than all of that, and his name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. And when 2021 hits, let me tell you what's going to happen at midnight of 2021. Okay? I don't know. I don't know. But if the Lord hasn't returned, you know, there's still people living in sin. There's still the consequences of sin. Right? And there's still a Savior who's the answer for all of that. It's, you know, and what we need to do is take the difficulties that we have had this year, maybe even the difficulties that we have right now, okay, and remember the name of Jesus. Look, if you will, in John 21, because when we remember the name Jesus, when we remember the name of Jesus, we remember what journey that we are on. We remember what journey that you are on. If you look in John chapter 21, in Simon and in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a fishing. I go fishing. I love that phrase. I have no idea. It just seems southern to me. I go a fishing, you know? And he, you know, and this is what he grew up doing. He grew up fishing. Now, I'm not getting on to Peter. I used to get on to Peter for that phrase. I go a fishing. Look at that. He's just running away and all of that. He really didn't have any instruction at this time. So he's just going back to what he knows best. Now, I don't believe they're near their home. I always wanted to know, well, whose boat did he take? But anyway, that's a different message. All right. So I go a fishing. And then other disciples say that we go with them. So they go fishing and they don't catch anything. And they don't catch anything. And then in verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto him, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And so they did. They cast a net on the right side, and then the net was full. And the net was full. And I just, look, 3 years prior to this was Jesus, you know, getting in Peter's boat, everybody on, you know, the shore. And then when he was done teaching and preaching, he told Peter to cast out the boat a little bit further, okay? And then as he cast out the boat a little bit further, Jesus told him to cast the nets out, and they did cast the nets out, all right? And then as a result of it, the nets were so full that they started to break, and the ship started to sink. Remember that? I remember that. I wonder if Peter remembered that when this was happening right now. And then all of a sudden, you know what happened? Jesus told him a little bit later in that same story, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He changed his journey. He changed his journey. He said, this is what you were doing, but this is now what you are doing. This is what you are doing. And look, as Christians, you know, we need to make sure that we are not so focused, earthly focused, that our journey reflects what we're doing here instead of reflecting of where we're going. That's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, you know, in verses 13 through 16, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then when you continue to read it, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And then, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them for a city. The day that Jesus Christ said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, they were now walking toward a different country. A heavenly country. A better country. A better country. I used to remember when I was like 18 or 19 years old. Yes, I still remember that. I used to remember, and I would hear the older folk talk about, it doesn't matter what happens on this earth, I got a reward in heaven. I'm on my way to a better country. I got riches. I mean, and all that. I'm like, oh, that's all. That's fine. That's good. That's great. You know? But it didn't really affect my walk all that much. Okay? But now, the older I get, and then we go through things like 2020, and now you're in charge of your kids and your now grandkids and all of that. All of a sudden, that better country makes a whole lot of sense to me now. It makes a lot of sense to me now. And, you know, years ago, I still remember talking to a man, just witnessing to him. And I was talking to him about, you know, heaven. And he says, well, I believe we're in heaven right now. No. I don't think he believes that now. You know, I like to ask him, you think we're in heaven, right? And then he's like, it's only going to get better and better. No. It's only going to get worse and worse, but there is something better. And that's the heavenly country. A better country, okay? And look, honestly, seriously, we need to live like we're going toward a better country. And when we're going to a better country, and we love the people around us, and we just love people and want people what's best for them, we don't sit back and wait for the better country. We encourage people to join us. That's why Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He didn't just say, I'm going to make you followers of me. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to follow me to heaven one day. You're going to go to a place that I prepared for you. But let's see if we can bring some people with us. And then all of a sudden, when I look at this country, and I'm really talking about the world, and I see the struggles and the trials and everything that people go through, man, I need to live like I'm going to a better country. Amen. And I need to be persuaded of it to the point that I'm going to let people know, hey, that's where I'm going. And this is where you can go as well. And look, when Peter remembers the name of Jesus, when he remembers the name of Jesus, he remembers the journey that Jesus put him on. He remembers the journey that Jesus put him on. And that was a journey to be fishers of men. Fishers of men. And then also when you remember the name of Jesus and you remember the journey that you're on, you need to remember why you started that journey. What convinced you? You know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 5, and this is the story of Jesus, the first time that Jesus was in the boat with Peter in Luke chapter 5. But before I get to look at John chapter 21, in verse 6, he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast it therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Man, they threw the net out, and as they threw the net out, the net became so full, And then as soon as the net was full, John tells Peter, he says, that's Jesus Christ. And as soon as Peter realized that it was Jesus Christ, Peter threw himself overboard and started swimming, walking. I don't know, he didn't walk, but anyway, going there. And once again, it's not hard to connect the stories. The first time that Peter's net was full changed Peter's life forever. Okay? You say, why did Peter start on that journey? Because God convinced him. God convinced him just how much God loved him and just how much God was there for them. That's why he says in Luke chapter 5, okay, in verse 5, Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. This is in Luke chapter 5. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, and the people came. But in verse 8, okay, of Luke chapter 5, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. When Jesus said, Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, why did Peter do that? Why did he leave his fishing business and so on and do that? Because when Jesus said, cast the net, you know, out, and he followed he obeyed Christ in that, and I'll get to that in just a second, and then the nets were so full of fish, Peter fell down on his knees and said, Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. The reason why he started following Christ on that journey was because of how Christ convinced him to do so, and he does so with the heart. That miracle was so miraculous in Peter's life. He got down on his knees and said, Depart from me, O Lord. I'm a sinner. All of a sudden, he realized who he was in the presence of and who he was and who Peter is. And knew that Jesus Christ was way above, more than anything could ever imagine. You know what he was saying? He said, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. There was a miracle, God himself working a miracle in his life that he was not worthy of receiving, but yet God did it anyway. But God did it anyway. Look, but once you get to know me, you'll realize I can whine and complain and gripe and murmur with the best of them, okay? You know, I can complain you under the table, all right? No problem. No, anyway. And my wife, she I don't even think she likes me admitting that, okay? She just wants that part of it to go away forever. But anyway, I mean, but seriously, and so on. Man, we can look at the situations going on around us, and we can kind of give in to despair and discouragement, you know. And it doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't matter what month it is. In all reality, sometimes it doesn't even matter what day it is. There's always something negative to complain about, right? I mean, there's just always something. I mean, all you do is turn on the news, and you'll find something to, you know, worry about, you know. But at the same time, if we remember his name, and to remember the journey that we started, and to remember why, and the reason why is because one day, he convinced you in a miraculous way of how much he loves you and how much he cares for you, okay, and how much he is there for you from day to day to day. And Peter needed to remember that. He needed to remember that no matter how bad it seems to be, and it was pretty bad, Jesus Christ being led away, Jesus Christ being struck, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, denying Christ 3 times, you know, Jesus Christ talking about leaving, you know, and all of that. It all started because one day Peter said, Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinner. My journey with Christ started one day because Jesus Christ first loved me, reached out to me, said, I love you, you need me, I'll forgive you. I asked Christ to forgive me, and he did, and I was unworthy to receive it. And I was unworthy to receive it. And let me tell you something, I'm still unworthy, okay, to receive all these miracles that I get from God every single day. I mean, Pastor already talked about it. We're in the last Sunday of 2020. Did you ever think in March that you would make it to the end of 2020? I mean, really? I mean, come on. Some of you are like, I wrote in my night. Here's what I wrote in my notes. If 2020 is or was so difficult, then what did it take for us to be here today? But yet here we are. A called out assembly, serving the Lord, shining the light, being the salt of the earth. Amen? America's blessed. There's been a lot of heartache. There's been a lot of deaths. You know, there's a lot of sadness. My father-in-law had to spend Christmas alone because my brother and sister-in-law both got diagnosed with COVID. That's not a Christmas day you really want to remember. You know, there's a lot of stories like that. That's just one of thousands upon thousands upon thousands. But in order to get through each and every one of those, is God reaching down and miraculously helping us to get through each and every single one of those. I love that. Man, I started this journey, you know, because God reached down and said, here's my gift, my love, and I was able to accept that, and he changed my life. And he did so, he convinced me of just how much he loves me. He convinced Peter 3 years prior to this, he said, this is how much I love you. And Peter said, got down on his knees, depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinner. Man, don't forget the journey you're on. And don't forget why it started in the first place. Don't forget that. When we remember his name, we remember what journey, we remember why, and then we remember what works. Okay? Remember what works. And in John chapter 21, in John chapter 21, back in the boat scene, okay, in verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Look, I think God has a little bit of a sense of humor, don't you? He already knew the answer to that. Hey, do you have any fish? No. You know? How's it working without me? Not very well. Okay? And, you know, and I love the fact that when they get to the shore, there's already fish and bread already prepared. You know? I mean, it's just like, you know, wow. Okay. Have any meat? And then he says this, cast a net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. And they cast therefore, now they're not able to draw it. You know what works? You know what works? God's word works. God's word works. Not just reading it, but obeying it. Not just reading it, but obeying it. Remember the first time? Jesus said, cast out your nets. Peter said, we toiled all the night long, but nevertheless at thy word. And so they threw the nets out, and then we know that. And then once again, you know, they're fishing all night long, and they didn't catch anything. And he said, cast it on the right side. Cast it on the right side. They were one side away from catching. Okay? And so they throw it on the right side, and now it's full. I don't know about you, but I do know this. Every time I try to live my life without obeying God's word, I fall flat on my face every single time. Every single time. And I think that's a temptation for most Christians to ignore God's word or not to take it as seriously as you should. We need to rely on God's word. God's word is our defense. God's word is our way of moving forward. Okay? You know what Peter was relying on when he wasn't relying on God's word? He was relying on his flesh. He was relying on his ideas. He was relying on man's instruments, the sword. He was relying on his way of doing it. I mean, he was the one that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, how would you like to be called Satan by Jesus? I mean, that's not a great thing to do, you know. And here's Peter. He's just trying to, you know, he rebuked God. He should have never done that in the first place. But, you know, he's just looking out for Jesus, and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Let me tell you something. Anytime we try to live our life outside of God's word, we're doing exactly what the devil would have us to do. We got to quit doing it. We got to remember what works. You know, I was thinking about this a few weeks ago. I was like, we got to quit bringing darts to a dart fight. You know, what does the devil use? And Ephesians chapter 6, it says that he throws fiery what? Darts at us. You know what Christians sometimes we do? We like to take our own darts and fire them right back. I always just think of the dart guns from Nerf. You know, it's like, you know, and so I get my dart gun, and then you have your dart gun, and we're just firing darts at each other, all right? But if we're going to get into the fight that we're supposed to and walk the journey that we're supposed to be on and have the victory that we need to have, okay? We can't bring a dart, okay, or dart gun or slingshot or however he throws the darts. We can't bring those. You just better bring the sword, right? You better bring the sword, all right? Don't bring a sword to a gunfight. I'd bring this sword to any fight. Amen? I mean, seriously. And when Peter quit relying on his word and his way, and he remembered Christ's words and Christ's way, all of a sudden you had Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 5. You also had the 1st and 2nd Peter being written because he said, you know what? The way to get through a difficult time is to remember his name. And when you remember his name, you remember the journey. And you, when you remember the journey, you remember why you started the journey. And then you remember what works. It was Christ's words that works. Christ uses his own words when he's, you know, when he was tempted by the devil. He used the Bible. He used his own words. We need to make sure we got to use what works. We have to use what works. And then, we need to remember who. If you remember his name, that should be easy, right? If you remember the name of Jesus Christ, you need, then you'll remember who. But you'll remember who you were, you'll remember who he is, and then you'll remember what you are through him, or who you are through him. Peter was just an everyday struggling fisherman. And then one day Jesus came into his life, changed his life forever. Peter gave his life to Christ, okay? And then he became a servant of Jesus Christ. He became a son, a joint heir with Jesus. He now has a heavenly father. He now became part of the family of God. And you see in John chapter 21 and verse 15, he says, "So when they had dined, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." And then in verse 16, he saith to him again, second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Once again, acknowledging who Jesus is. You know all things. There were times throughout Peter's journey that he would remember who Christ was. In John chapter 6, Jesus gave a pretty hard doctrine. A lot of disciples walked no more with him. And Jesus asked his disciples, he says, "Are you going to go away as well?" Peter's like, "We're not going away. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ." And when Peter remembered who Christ was, and who Christ was, and who Peter was, and now who Peter is through Christ, he had a much different walk. He had a much different walk. And this is what I like. Do you know who Peter is? Peter is a person, okay, that even though he denied Christ three times, he was still part of God's plan. Now, do you remember when the world turned upside down this year? Everybody remember that? What month was it? It was March. Now, every year, there's an NCAA basketball tournament called March Madness. It's like 60 some odd teams. It used to be 64, but now they threw in some other things. I don't even know anymore. Okay? And the reason why it's madness is because everybody fills out these brackets. Okay? My whole family fills out the brackets. Okay? My whole family. Okay, the boys, the girls, they didn't watch basketball at all. It doesn't matter. Okay, you just kind of teach them that these numbers mean this and this numbers mean that and all of that. So everybody tries to fill out their brackets. And then after 2 days, do you know what people do with their brackets? They rip them up and throw them away. Disgusted. The basketball experts like me is getting beat by your 10-year-old daughter who knows nothing about basketball at all. And would even ask, "Well, what names are they? What color uniforms do they have? Well, I'm going to go with that." And then they would win. And in our house, when you won the ice cream. So everybody would plan on how it was going to go. And then after 2 days or 4 days, whatever, you ripped them up and threw them away. You did. You did, because they were worthless. It was madness. I would say in January 2020, we all had plans. And then in March of 2020, we ripped them all up. Right? I know a lot of pastors had the whole year planned out. How well did that work out for you? Right? You had family vacations. There were weddings. Okay? There were births. There were all kinds of things that you planned on how it was supposed to go. And in March, you threw it all out. Let me tell you one thing. This is what I love. Do you know whose plans were not ripped up or thrown out? When it came to March, it wasn't madness for the Lord. His plans kept right on going. When I screw up my plans, He already knows that. And He still has plans for me. And I get to keep right on going. That's so cool. That's who He is. And when I remember who He is, it also helps me remember who I am in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you get to be part of that if you would just accept Christ. Ask Him to forgive you. And we're going to pray here in just a minute. All you got to do is say, Lord, just please forgive me. Come into my heart. Now you're part of the family of God. And He always has a plan for you. Even if you denied Him 3 times, He still has a plan for you. And then maybe as Christians, you know what we need to remember? Man, I love it. I was just thinking about that. God didn't throw out His bracket. It's perfect every time. Because His will is done the way it needs to be done every single time. And the reason why Peter was able to be what we know Peter to be in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 5 and 4 and 10 and so on and so forth is because he remembered his name. And he preached it, he shared his name, he stood on his name, and he remembered the journey that he was on, he remembered why it began, he remembered what works, and he just always helped him remember who Christ is, but also helped him remember who he is in Christ as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your love, we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I'm just amazed that here, the last Sunday of 2020, Lord, I still get to be part of your plans. It's very, very humbling. It really is. I thank you so much for that. And Lord, I thank you that we get to be part of that. We get to live a life of overcoming. Live a life of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but having a shepherd that will help us through, will lead us through. We even prepare a table for us to be able to eat. Lord, no matter what the world throws at your people, they're your people, and you take care of them, and I thank you for that. And Lord, your plan, your will is for people to come to know you as their Savior. And so, Lord, if we get another Sunday, we get another year, we get another 5 years, it's because your long-suffering leads to salvation, and we thank you for that. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray that help us to remember who you are and who we are in you to be able to continue to do the work you called us to do. And Lord, I pray that there's one here, there's one watching, they don't know Christ, they don't know you. Lord, they remember that your plan was to come down to this earth, be born of a virgin, lying in that manger, living a perfect life, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, so that you could conquer death and the grave in every person's life. That's your plan. And I pray that somebody who's watching, maybe here, maybe online, who's watching will realize that they can be part of that. And even now, they'll just lift up prayers of, you know, asking for forgiveness, asking you to come into their heart, asking you to be their Savior. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that there is a name that we can remember, a name that we can share. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.